Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. We are on the Infinity Sports Network. We are on, I'm not sure the exact number, so let me ballpark it, 2,700 stations nationwide. Some markets were even on like every station at the same time. That's what I let myself believe. Oh, I had a dream. I went back into TV news last night, and it was my first report. That's how I got my career started. And it was my first report, and I bombed. I was just so bad. I was like, guys, I got this. I got this. I've done radio, and I do TV hits sometimes.
It's
and
funny.
They go, and now to Bart Winkler with the latest. And I go,
It's funny because I also had dreamed about work. For the first time ever, you were in my dream last night. You were just there. You didn't say anything.
Ooh, wow.
But I booked a guest right in front of you, and it's not a guest that I would book because we can't book her. Like, she's on ESPN. So I'm like, I woke up. I'm like, it's the most random, useless dream ever. Why am I thinking about work?
It sounds like you weren't thinking about work. Sounds like you were thinking of this particular lady on ESPN.
Oh, I'll say the name. Emily Kaplan.
Oh, you're thinking of Emily Kaplan.
I have no idea why.
Were you watching hockey the other day?
Yeah, I watch hockey, you know, almost once a day now.
Is she on the broadcast? She does a great job.
You know what? She actually was. Yeah, she was on the sideline. I forgot what two teams were playing, but yeah, she was working the game.
The work dreams that I've had, I haven't really had them much, but when I was doing a morning show, a lot of times, and they weren't even like bad dreams, and I liked my job, but I would dream that I did a show. Like, it felt like the whole 4 hours I would dream, and I would wake up, and I would feel like, ugh. I felt like I just worked.
Yeah,
and
then now you gotta go do it again in real life.
Yeah. So I like, those are the rare days I work like a real, you know, normal 8 hour shift, you know, but hey, put in a lot of work today. I really had to make sure this Bartometer was accurate. I think this one's going to be up for some interpretation, or there's a big direction that the Bartometer decided to go with this one that I tend to agree with. But this is one of these ones that in 10 years, 20 years may be a little different. We do it every Thursday at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific. Oh, new time, though. New day. We're moving the Bartometer next 5 months from now. In September, it will be on Tuesdays once football starts back up. But it is that time, so let's fire up the Bartometer.
There are debates, there are hot takes, there are strong opinions, but in the quest for the truth, there is only one way to get the final say. It's time to fire up the Bartometer.
I asked the Bartometer tonight. The Bartometer, my machine that I have created, runs on artificial intelligence, funnier every time. I asked the Bartometer, with the NFL draft coming up, with Cam Ward set to go number one, what have been the top number one overall picks that have ever happened? And it was spitting out names like Charlie Trippi and Bill Dudley and Chuck Benarek, guys that are certainly worth their place in history. But I don't know that we can discuss their great careers off the top of my head. So I narrowed it down and I said, okay, just give me the best number one overall picks from, and I said a random year, I don't know, 1969. And the Bartometer quickly told me that's when O.J. Simpson was drafted number one. So I said, okay, let's change it. Let's just do my lifetime. The best number one overall pick in the NFL draft in my lifetime, born in May of 1984. So the first draft would have been 1985. So no Irving Fryer in 84, no John Elway in 83, no Earl Campbell in 78. We're just looking back to 1985, the best number one overall draft picks of the last 40 years. And we got to this place because I also asked it the best. I asked it the worst, right? I asked it because it's sports media and we like to, you know, ridicule people rather than build them up. So I said, what were the worst number one overall picks? And I got some names like Courtney Brown, Steve Entman. But a lot of these guys that are considered the worst overall picks, they were good picks, but then they got hurt. And I don't know that you can predict that they're going to get hurt. Sometimes guys come in with injury histories and you're like, okay, we're a little cautious. But you can't just know that a guy's going to get hurt. Like, Peyton Manning was a great pick. What if he got hurt his second year and then never played again? We'd think that he sucked. If you're a guy like Jamarcus Russell, who's just bad, okay, yeah, then you can go up there. So that one I felt like it's too hard to know. A lot of these were good pick until he got hurt. Good pick till he got hurt. So I just want to look at best number one overall picks. And it's harder to rank some of the more recent guys because they're not as accomplished as some of the other guys from 40 years ago. So these may change. This list may change over time. But I asked the Bartometer, factor in when they were taken, obviously number one, who they were taken by, who the teams could have selected instead of, I thought was important for the conversation, and the success that they ended up having. So the best number one draft picks, overall number one in the NFL since 1985. At number eight, and right away, we're going to say, okay, if you do this in 20 years, this may change based on the career that he would have. But right now, at number eight is Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals, taken number one in 2020. This was a big draft. Justin Herbert, Tua. It was tank for Tua for a while. Jordan Love went later. Jalen Hurts as well. But Joe Burrow taken number one, took the Bengals to a Super Bowl. We'll take them to a Super Bowl again this year, I think. Or maybe the Bills. Haven't decided. Chase Young went number two, so they could have gone a different direction. But Joe Burrow being a Super Bowl participant, Joe Burrow being a guy that's clearly a top four quarterback in this league right now, the Bengals selecting him, getting him to sign another contract, getting him to then make sure his buddies were signed to another contract. This was a great pick in 2020 when there were options on the board. Joe Burrow at number eight. At number seven, Jared Goff being taken number one in 2016 by the Los Angeles Rams comes in at number seven. Now, in his own right, Jared Goff also getting to a Super Bowl with the Rams and having a nice portion of his career there. The other guy they could have taken at quarterback was Carson Wentz. So they decided to go Goff with Wentz, which did work out. And it worked out again because he did very well. He was good in 2017 when he got them to the playoffs. 28 touchdowns, just 7 picks. Eventually got them to a Super Bowl as well in year 3. And then also factoring this in is he was a part of the trade that helped them get Matt Stafford, which then got them a Super Bowl championship. Matthew Stafford, by the way, also a number one overall pick in 2009, not on this list. So Matthew Stafford, not on this list. Jared Goff is. The tiebreaker being is that Jared Goff got the Rams to a Super Bowl and then eventually won them a Super Bowl via trading for Matthew Stafford. So the Bartometer really factoring that in. No Matthew Stafford on this list being the number one pick in 2009, but Jared Goff is at number seven. Number six. Patriots had a choice in 1993 between Washington State's Drew McQueen Bledsoe, real name, or Notre Dame's Richard Franklin Meyer. And they chose Drew Bledsoe over Rick Meyer. Drew Bledsoe got them to a Super Bowl. Drew Bledsoe, a very good quarterback in his own right. A Pro Bowler three times prior to the year that Tom Brady took over, but was playing Pro Bowl football at that time, too. Then eventually he got hurt and Tom Brady came in, but Bledsoe had gotten them at least to a point where Brady could come in and really start that era with the team that Drew Bledsoe had kind of helped cultivate as quarterback. He was a good quarterback. He went to a Super Bowl. He inadvertently ushered in the Tom Brady era. Drew Bledsoe on this list at number six. Number five. Best number one picks, overall number one picks in the NFL in the last 40 years is Eli Manning. Now, Eli Manning will be a Hall of Famer. Isn't quite yet. Got two Super Bowls with the Giants. Problem with Eli's career is he did really good in the beginning, and then a lot of years that was mediocre were mediocre with very little playoff appearances. Now, the Giants got Eli because Eli didn't want to play in San Diego. So San Diego ends up getting Phillip Rivers. If the Giants make a trade and end up getting Phillip Rivers, you know, how much different is that career? Although likely would not have happened. He would have just fallen to them. Wouldn't have been a number one overall pick. But how different is the future of the Giants post that? We don't know. It's a fun what if. But Eli Manning, number one overall, via a trade, getting him, winning a couple of Super Bowls. He's in at number five. Number four. The greatest show on turf. Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce. One of the reasons they had a lot of success was because in 1997, the Rams took Orlando Pace at tackle at number one, who may have been just the best player on that team. Now, they could have gone that year off the offensive line. Darrell Russell goes number two, defensive tackle, Raiders. Sean Springs, cornerback, goes number three. Peter Boulware. These are some guys that made Pro Bowls, but Orlando Pace, clearly the best player to be taken at number one in that draft. And the Rams did that and were able to have an anchor for an eventual Super Bowl winning team, getting back a little bit later, losing to the Rams. But Orlando Pace, seven straight Pro Bowls, quietly and consistently the best player, perhaps, on the greatest show on turf. He comes in at number four. Number three. Four Super Bowl appearances, no wins. But a good pick in 1985 at number one for the Buffalo Bills. Bruce Smith, the NFL's sack king. 15 Hall of Fame seasons. This decision got questioned a little bit back in 1985. People weren't so sure that they made the right move. A couple of other guys that got drafted. Bill Frelick, guard. Ray Childress, defensive tackle. Chris Dolman, a nice Hall of Fame career at number four that year. But this was the guy that they went with at number one, and it certainly paid off in terms of production. Has the most sacks of anyone ever since sacks started being counted in 1982. And is one of the few guys, I believe. Bartometer, back me up on this. Defensive player of the year twice, named to two different all-decade teams as well, which did not happen for a lot of guys. So Bruce Smith getting in there, drafted number one by the Bills in 1985. At number two, We're looking at the best number one overall pick in the NFL in the last 40 years. Most list will give you Peyton Manning, Colts, 1998. The Bartometer is not giving you Peyton Manning at number one. It is giving you Peyton Manning at number two. As a rookie, Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions. The Colts stood by him, thankfully. Five MVPs, that boggles the brain, right? So there should be a lesson there, first of all, that, hey, stick with some of these rookie quarterbacks. So his success, individually and team success, they did get a Super Bowl in Indianapolis. Very deserving and could be number one and is on many other lists and should be. Another big factor is, what was the debate that year? Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf? Some say real embrace debate nature of where we're at was born out of the Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning discussion. Peyton Manning, the obvious right call, and should be number one overall. If not for the Bartometer selection at number one. And that is Troy Aikman, Cowboys, 1989. Now, Peyton Manning, by all measures, is a better quarterback than Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman, very accurate. Troy Aikman, maybe, how do I say, the most elite game manager type quarterback of all time? I mean, very good. Troy Aikman's very good. Won and started in three Super Bowls, 11-5 in the playoffs, Pro Football Hall of Fame. Great leader and a great stewardsman of that Cowboys team. That Cowboys team, with all the different things happening on and off the field, to be the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, you need a certain type of leadership, a certain type of personality, which Troy Aikman was able to bring and kind of steady the ship anytime it got a little rocky. But where the Bartometer really likes Troy Aikman as the number one on this list is one of the factors is you look at not only what they've done, but what were the other options? And for a lot of these other teams, it was, boy, Peyton Manning. We sure dodged a bullet by not taking Ryan Leaf, right? For the Dallas Cowboys, what's so unique about the 1989 draft is you almost couldn't screw it up if you have a top five pick. Because four of those guys ended up being Hall of Famers. Barry Sanders at three, Derek Thomas at four, Deion Sanders at five. So they could have taken a different guy, got a Hall of Fame career out of him, but would it have been the same? Would they have won the Super Bowl? Would they have been able to build out the team the rest of the way? They took the right guy at the right position at the right time. And with all those other great options, taking the quarterback, Troy Aikman's number one on this list. Now, what I failed to mention up to this point is they could have also taken the number two pick, Tony Mandridge, the offensive tackle out of Michigan State, who was selected by the Green Bay Packers. So imagine being a Packer fan, knowing that at the number two pick, you could have had Barry Sanders or Derek Thomas or Deion Sanders, and you took Tony Mandridge. So Troy Aikman, via the Bartometer, is the best number one overall pick of the last 40 years in the NFL. Number eight, Joe Burrow. Number seven, Jared Goff. Number six, Drew Bledsoe. Number five, Eli Manning. Number four, Orlando Pace. Number three, Bruce Smith. Number two, Peyton Manning. Number one, how about them Cowboys? Troy Aikman. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. What would it take for Cam Ward to be on that list? We'll take a look at that and look at some of the other number one overall picks in the last 10 years and what has a good chance to possibly be on this list down the line when we come back. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Thanks to Nick Friedel joining us late last night, bouncing around in his cab. You can catch that interview and anything we do here in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. But nowhere better than the Audacy app, AUDACY. We're talking NFL Draft. NFL Draft Preview sponsored by Ego, tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes for any outdoor challenge. Count on Ego, tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego, power beyond belief. Before I take a look at some of these other picks and kind of see where Cam Ward could eventually be on this list as the Bartometer is looking at the best draft picks at number one overall in the last 40 years in the NFL, I'd be remiss if I didn't give my condolences to a fan club that I have been a part of. So much promise, so much potential. And it looks like it will never be realized. Back in 2021, the number one overall pick was Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, a really solid top 10. Saw their guys in the first round, including Justin Fields, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater, Mac Jones. But it wasn't until we got to pick number 20, where we thought we would see unlimited promise and potential and a guy who would possibly revolutionize the position that he played. And that was when the New York Giants selected Kadarius Toney, wide receiver out of Florida. Now, Toney sucked. He was with New York for two seasons, departed, played for the Chiefs a little bit and the Browns in 2024. Now, somehow he's going to retire with two Super Bowl rings, but that is the story. On his Instagram today, he has announced that he is going to retire. He doesn't want to be called Kadarius Toney anymore. He wants to be called Young Joka. Not Young Joker. YUNGJOKA. Young Joka.
No shot.
This is a tough one. You're a Giants fan.
You don't know that.
But I am a rare breed. A Kadarius Toney believer who stashed him and made him untouchable on many a fantasy dynasty team. The belief I had in this man was, if anybody had the belief in me that I have had in Kadarius Toney, well, then maybe I would be our first three-term president since FDR, because I really could have gone places. So sorry to have this one come to an end, Carlos. Giants fans around the world, and specifically me, a Kadarius Toney believer.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman, the gift that kept on giving.
That is a tough one. Giants did get one guy on the Bartometer's list tonight. We're looking at the last 40 years of NFL picks, the number one pick to be exact, and the Bartometer told us which ended up being the best. Joe Burrow was 8, Jared Goff 7, Drew Bledsoe 6, Eli Manning 5,
Orlando Pace
4, Bruce Smith 3, Peyton Manning 2, and Troy Aikman getting over Peyton and being number 1. Now, Joe Burrow is at 8 for now. We looked at a bunch of different factors. Longevity of their career, a big one. So some of the guys that were drafted later, that's a little tougher. What they've done, what they've accomplished. Joe Burrow getting to a Super Bowl helped. But also, who was he up against that could have been the number one pick? And Troy Aikman was up against three other Hall of Famers that got drafted in the top five, and one of the biggest busts of all time in Tony Mandrich. But what are these other guys since, let's say, the last 10 years could go down someday as a top pick? Which one of these other guys could have the opportunity to be on this list? Joe Burrow, I think, will continue to climb the list, especially if he gets to another Super Bowl. But otherwise, it's kind of a mixed bag. Jadeveon Clowney was the number one pick in 2014. Now, he's with the Panthers now, and he's been on a bunch of different teams since. Texans that year, well, what if they went different edge guy? What if they went Khalil Mack? What if they went different lineman? What if they went Aaron Donald? So if Aaron Donald would have been the number one pick in 2014, I think with that career, he could have certainly been on this list. Number 15 is a guy that, quite frankly, I forgot was a number one overall pick. And that was Jameis Winston. He will not be on this list anytime soon. In 2016, Jared Goff did get on the list. Drafted ahead of Carson Wentz. Matt Stafford was a number one overall pick in 2009. The Bartometer putting Goff on over Stafford, partly because Goff got traded for Stafford. So it's not even, but it's what the pick did. It's how the Rams got the pick to work for them. Again, Goff not a better quarterback than Stafford, and Troy Aikman not a better quarterback than Peyton Manning, but it's what the pick did for you. Myles Garrett, certainly honorable mention status, has had a great career, but I think there just hasn't been enough with the Browns. Enough success with the Browns, the number one overall pick in 2017. 2018 saw Baker Mayfield. You know, Baker, a fine pick, but you would almost have to think like more worse than best just because of the other quarterbacks they could have had. Now, that quarterback class was a mixed bag. You had Josh Rosen at 10. You had Sam Darnold at 3. But you also had Josh Allen at 7 and Lamar Jackson at 32, which if either one of them would have been Browns, Cleveland probably would have found a way to screw that up as well. 2019, Kyler Murray. You know, Kyler Murray's career, the vast potential. I still would have liked to see what would have happened if he would have been drafted. I think the A's still would have been in Oakland. He would have been that good. That is a joke that I don't like to say, but I did. Joe Burrow in 2020, we talked about him. 2021 saw Trevor Lawrence. And I think this is where I compare and have compared Cam Ward. Cam Ward coming out of college, he's not as revered as Trevor Lawrence was coming out of college, but he's going to an AFC South team that I don't know how stable ground that team is going to be on for the next few years. Jacksonville, anything but. Guys had to work under Urban Meyer, Doug Peterson, you know, another... Liam Cohen, he's had a handful of coaches, okay? And so it's been tough for him to really get going. But also, he hasn't had the critique and criticism on him because we haven't really seen a lot of Trevor Lawrence games. And the one game we saw the most was when he brought the Jaguars back and they won a playoff game against the Chargers. And that's what I think Cam Ward's going to settle into. A situation where he's going to be able to play. We're not going to see him a lot unless the Titans get really good and he forces us to watch him. How much did we expect to see of Jaden Daniels this year? I know, number two. But how much did we expect to see of him this year? And then every time they were in a primetime spot, he exceeded expectations, did very well, got himself to an NFC Championship game. Caleb Williams, I think there was a little more pressure on him then there will be Cam Ward because Chicago's been a place that historically has screwed up a bunch of quarterback. And they could have taken Patrick Mahomes instead of taking Mitch Trubisky. So then you think about that and you think you can't screw this up. You've never had a 4,000-yard passer. You've always screwed up. You're going to screw up again. I know you're going to do it. I'm not going as far to say they've screwed up again, which some people would like to with the success of Daniels already, just like I'm not going to say that Bryce Young was a worse pick than C.J. Stroud yet. I think there's so much time for that to materialize. So far, Stroud's had a better pro career. We don't know how things are going to go the next handful of years. But a lot more, I think there was a lot more pressure on Caleb than there was on Trevor Lawrence and than there will be on Cam Ward. Trayvon Walker, Jacksonville, and Trayvon Walker's not bad, but even then, I don't know that he was the unanimous number one overall pick. Kayvon Thibodeau went number five. Aiden Hutchinson went number two. So maybe other guys Jacksonville would rather have in that spot. Bryce Young again at number one 2 years ago, and then Caleb the year prior. So I'm sure you do this list a few more years from now, it's going to be different. But as of now, Joe Burrow, eight. Troy Aikman at number one on the Bartometer, which we do want to remind you, it is moving to Tuesdays. Bartometer is moving to Tuesdays, September 2nd. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update right now with Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Aaron Rodgers spoke today. I am going to do what I do best, and that's dissect every single word that he said, which happened to be very few words than what he has said. There's a little difference to it. He really ripped on the Jets. I thought that was interesting, but there are two sides to every story. There were a lot of people that found out he was going to be on Pat McAfee today. There were a lot of people that turned on Pat McAfee today. There were a lot of people that thought Aaron Rodgers is going to tell us where he's going to go today. You are Charlie Brown with the football, and he is Lucy. And he's not even trying to be Lucy, I don't think, right now. He's a free agent. There's no deadline. The only deadline is week one. Oh, well, the draft's coming up. He's got to pick by then. Why? It'd be dumber for him to pick by then. Aaron Rodgers did a lot of weird things also during this 45-minute interview, which I'm sure you've seen clips of, and if you haven't, you're going to hear some. From the preeminent Aaron Rodgers body language and actual language expert. What's it take? 10,000 hours to become an expert at something? I've listened to Aaron Rodgers talk for 10,000 hours in my life. I know exactly what he's trying to say and not say, and we'll talk about that coming up in about 10 minutes. Some news in the sports broadcasting world. We are getting the official retirement of Lee Corso. He is going to retire after week one of the college football season. So we will get one more college game day on ESPN with Lee Corso, who is 89, has been on the show since its inception in 1987, has made random appearances, not random, I mean scheduled appearances, but has been a part of the show just in a lesser capacity. College Game Day was a studio show, and it wasn't until it became a traveling road show that it really took on the cultural significance, at least in sports, but certainly people would go crazy when they would go to a college campus. October 5th, 1996, they traveled to Ohio. They made their predictions. Lee Corso did not make his prediction. He showed his prediction where he had Brutus Buckeye's head underneath the desk and put it on, and now has done that more than 400 times. Reese Davis, longtime host of College Game Day, has said that if anybody tries to do that bit from Lee, I will knock them over. I will not let anybody else do that ever again. Lee Corso officially retiring. Look, I don't think I want to work till I'm 89. I just kind of want to live till I'm like in the ballpark of that. But this was a special job, a unique job, and Lee Corso is going to step away full time from it. This is one of those guys that you just assume are always going to be there, you know, that you grow up with. And we get that a lot in sports broadcasting, or at least we have. I don't know that we're going to have that like 20 years from now. I don't know when people retire if they'll say, this guy was such a part of, you know, my Saturdays. This guy was such a part of my life. A lot of guys that we grew up with, you know, they already seem old when you're a kid. And then they don't go anywhere, and they just become such a part of your routine when it comes to watching sports. The other ones that I would think of, Dick Vitale. You know, Dick Vitale's been doing college hoops since ESPN came on the air in the 70s. And that's who you think of when you think of college basketball. John Madden, I think, is the first one that came to my head, a guy who's been there forever. It's just an identifiable part of your Sundays for so long. And there's other guys like Al Michaels for the longest time, and he's still working now on Amazon. And Brent Musburger has been a part of some of the biggest games. But I don't know that we have, and maybe we do, and sometimes you can't tell, oh, that guy's going to be there for 40 years, and he's going to be a part of my routine and a part of my life, and I'm going to think synonymously with him, and it's going to be different when that guy is gone. You know, some of the great baseball announcers, Vin Scully passing away not too long ago, and then the one that is closer to home here for me in Milwaukee is Bob Uecker. And Bob Uecker, the last few years, has not been doing a 162-game schedule. So you're used to some of the other voices now. It's not like just a new guy came in out of the blue. And the guys that they have on radio do a really good job. Jeff Levering being the main one, Lane Grindle, Josh Maurer to complete the booth that they have in Milwaukee. And they do a great job. And obviously they're not Bob Uecker. Nobody's asking them to be. But right now, I don't know that it has hit yet. As a Brewers fan that has listened to a lot of these games on the radio, that he's no longer with us. Because with a limited schedule in the past, to have a limited schedule, I mean, it almost sounds like I missed opening day. That's what he would have done. You know, some of the homestand games, it hasn't been like, oh, Bob Uecker's gone. The most it's been like that is any tribute at the ballpark. I mean, you go to that ballpark, Bob Uecker's all over the place and should be. And on opening day, they aired this tribute video prior, and it was very emotional. And then the Brewers got their ass kicked. I think they were still reeling from losing their broadcaster, but was their friend. Now, Lee Corso is still with us, and he's still going to do one more week, and then he'll retire. But you see these guys that become synonymous with something. It's just hard to envision them afterwards. Even like game shows, when Alex Trebek passed away. Like, Ken Jennings is doing a fine job as the host, but then sometimes they'll show Alex Trebek's clips, like during, to keep it alive and to remember. And then you're like, oh yeah, this is a great part. And these are roles that these guys don't assume that. You know, you don't take the gig of Jeopardy and think you're going to be there for 30 years. You don't sit on the College Game Day booth and think this is even going to be a show for another five. But these things become a part of our culture, a part of our sports watching, a part of our institution. And so it's good when you're able to tell these people, hey, I enjoyed your work. It's good to be able to do that. But even though he is still with us, there's going to be an empty hole on that game day set, because that was such a big part of it, to the fact where, you know, Fox now trying to emulate it a little bit with their own. By the way, they tried to get Reese Davis. They offered a lot of money to Reese Davis, host of College Game Day. I feel like that was a well-reported story in sports business and media circles, but I think that's a bigger story that the average sports fan is not aware of. Like, Fox tried to completely shake up the college football pregame landscape by kicking out their guy, Rob Stone, who I think does a terrific job, and going after Reese Davis. A lot of college football, the way it is right now, is because of Fox and ESPN. It is. SEC, Big Ten, a lot of it. And so I do get interested in some of the pregame kind of back and forth. All right, Rodgers talked. I'll translate and give you an update on what he wants to do when we come back on the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.